As a question, so there was a survey that was taken, and it says that if this is correct, and it was all young people, so we'll see if you guys agree with these surveys or not. So 50% of young people say that they are afraid they're on their cell phones too much. That was one. Second is 15% of people have experienced cyberbullying. So that would mean 15% of you have experienced cyberbullying of some type. 40% of you do not feel safe at school. And 45% of you, once you graduate from high school, are going to go away from God and go away from the church. So you look at every other person at your table, that could be the situation. So I was reading this book called Three Big Questions That Change Every Teenager. And after reading the book, I realized that all of these things that we're talking about are in Ephesians 2:10. But the answers that you're going to get today, and we're going to go through these, you're never going to get it unless you understand Ephesians 2:8 and 9. So if we can get these today, these four questions down, Jesus said the wise man built his house upon a rock, and we all know that the rock is Jesus. So we need to make sure that we get these down, and this will help you going forward in your life. So the questions are this: how can I know for sure that I will be in heaven forever? Secondly, who am I? Third is, where do I belong? And the fourth is, what is my purpose? How can I make a difference? So it's basically salvation, identity, and belonging and purpose. And all four questions, like I said, are answers in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. So I'm just like you guys. I grew up here in Northern Virginia. I grew up in Reston. Show a photo here, Liam, I'll get to that. So there we go. So you guys are sitting here right now. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no idea what's going to happen years from now. And I'll tell you a couple of stories of some of these people up here. Our coach, as we're sitting there in this picture, he didn't know that 15 years from this date, he was going to be the very first coach ever of the Washington Mystics in the WNBA. Back then, we didn't even know there was going to be a WNBA, but he was the very first coach of the Mystics of the WNBA. Now, taking it forward a little bit to you guys, how many of you guys know who Jordan Scott is, who plays for South Lakes? So he just was a player of the year, two-time state champion, going to Michigan State. Number 14 on the end there is his uncle, Danny, who played with us. Now, what's crazy about this is that we had no idea at this time that Danny's brother was going to marry Coach Lewis's niece, and that's where Jordan Scott came from. So Christy and Jerome got married. I don't even think they knew each other at that point. They were younger than us, so that was it. Number 32, he had no idea that 2 years from that picture, he was going to be sitting in March Madness holding the national championship trophy as a starting point guard for the national champions. And 3 years from that picture, he was on the losing team of the NCAA March Madness on the national champions. He went on with a great career with Nike and incredible from there. Number 30 was going to end up being a Fairfax County police officer. DJ remembers him as a fellow police officer. Thank you for your service, DJ. And also a Marine. 8 years from this picture, he was in Desert Storm. And he was in a vehicle wreck, lost his leg, was burned over 70% of his body. Amazingly survived, alive to this day and doing well with two kids. So now we got number 50. I didn't know him that well then, but our coach asked us what we did before our basketball games. And we said, oh, we don't know. We're just dumb high school kids. We don't know anything. And he said, well, let's do the Lord's Prayer. Now imagine, in a public school, he said, let's do the Lord's Prayer. So we all did the Lord's Prayer. Number 50 had never heard the Lord's Prayer. He was unchurched, didn't know anything about anything. Well, guess what? By the end of the season, he told me that he memorized it, and he ended up being a youth pastor. So you all can make a difference just with small things like that. It was just saying the Lord's Prayer before a game. This guy ends up being a youth pastor. And me, number 12, I had no idea 10 years from that date that I was actually going to finally understand the Holy Spirit was going to reveal to me who Jesus really is. And I actually understood the gospel message. And at that time, I could have told you I was a Christian. I didn't know the answers that most of you in this room know. I am really, literally, you guys are way ahead of where I was at this point. So I want to make sure that whatever we do, whatever we hear going forward from here, that we put God first in all these questions we're going to talk about today. And you will be able to properly handle anything that comes your way in the future or even now. So I want to make sure we go through that. So close your eyes. Everybody, put your heads on the table and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 not being sure at all, and 10 being 100% sure, how sure are you that you're going to heaven? Now, I'm going to ask you in three different levels, so take your time here. If you are a 1, 2, or 3 about your level of going to heaven, raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you are a 4, 5, or 6, raise your hand. Yeah, raise them nice and high so I can see them. Okay, great, put them down. If you are a 7, 8, or 9, raise your hand. Excellent, excellent. Okay, put those down. And if you are a 10, raise your hand. Okay, great. Put your hands down. All right, everybody can come back up again. So it's very interesting for me to see the variety in this room. Let's start with this, and I know this is going to be shocking to you as teenagers. It's not about you. It's about God. It is totally about God, and we have to get that straight. And you will not understand the meaning to any of these answers, I promise you, unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to you. The Holy Spirit has to reveal. I was spiritually blind until I was 28. So I promise you that's who you're going to have to use to get these answers. So let's close our eyes again. You don't have to put your heads down. Just close your eyes again. I'm going to pray for you all real quick. And you can pray this to yourselves. Lord, please open my eyes to your saving grace and your answers to the questions in front of us so I can have a firm foundation in you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is the salvation question right here. And this is the one I didn't get until much later after that photo. So it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is a free gift, right? You either accept it or you don't. So Cole, can we go to the next slide there, Liam? Cole, can you read that first verse for me? Deceit is rough because deceit has some truth in it and we can fool ourselves really easily. A lie is kind of black or white, but deceit is a lot trickier, so we don't want to deceive ourselves. Is Anya here? I don't see Anya. Claire, can you take Anya's there? Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
The kind of good news and bad news, we're all in the same boat, right? We're all sinners. We're just born that way. We couldn't help it. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. So, Caleb, can you read Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. There cannot be 1 ounce of sin in heaven. God cannot allow that. But the good news is that all you have to do is accept that free gift from Jesus, and guess what? You can be in heaven. And that's the thing I didn't get because, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs. I thought, I'm good to go. Sliding scale, right? I'm in. It's not how it works. It's got to be perfection. And the only way to be perfect is to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and accept that free gift. That was hard for me to understand, really hard for me to understand. So John Treadwell, can you read Matthew 16? Go ahead, Lee. Great. Thank you, John. So do you see this thing right here? It says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The only way you're going to get this is if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. That's where I was. I understand spiritual blindness. I promise you. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I knew God. I thought it was there. I didn't get it. But guess what? Once the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, then I got it, which is crazy. So Grace, can you read our next one, please? So here's what Grace just said, so that you may know you have eternal life. That way, when I ask you, are you a 1 through 10, you can be a 10 because it says you can know you have eternal life. So here's what I'd like you all to do. If for some reason you didn't raise your hand as a 10, you're just not sure,
please talk to one of your leaders, talk to me, talk to Todd Sterling, anybody. We would gladly talk to you about this. This is the most important point that we're going to talk about today of the questions number one. Now, in your folders are worksheets, and you should have pens at your table so you can, we're going to go through these worksheets. Now, I know some of you like worksheets, some of you don't. And so you can say, oh, Mr. Beach, I'm going to pretend like I'm writing, so I pretend like I'm paying attention to you. So you don't have to write if you really don't. If you're really averse to writing down on answers on sheets, you don't have to do it. But like I said, just indulge me and act like you're paying attention. That'd be great. I'd appreciate it. So here's what we got on the sheet. We have number one, salvation is a free gift from God. We didn't earn it, and we don't deserve it. So that's question number one. Question number two is this. The answer is this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say I'm a way. He didn't say I'm a truth. He said I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Next is this. I do not just want to believe in God. I want to believe God. Now, what's the difference? You believe in God. The demons believe in God. No big deal. Of course, he exists. Everybody knows. But if you believe God, you're going to obey him. You're going to honor him. You're going to trust him. All those things if you believe him. And then finally, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is deciding who Jesus is. C.S. Lewis said he's either a Lord, liar, or lunatic, right? So he's got it. If he's not God, we're wasting our time here today. He is 100% God. All right, so a little competition here. Find somebody at your table who's a fast writer, and we're gonna have a quick competition. We're gonna go for about 30 seconds. We'll see how this goes here. Pick your writer real quick. All right, here we go. And by the way, the table will have a prize. So here we go. Is everybody ready? All right, Liam, let's hit it. In 30 seconds, name as many things as you know about Jesus in 30 seconds. Go. Photo. Next photo. How many of you guys, I assume everybody knows who this is, I would hope. So, it's not LeBron James, it's Kobe Bryant. So, anyway, so this guy named Allen was at Kobe Bryant's camp years ago when Kobe was the best player in the NBA. And Allen goes up to him and says, hey, Kobe, hey, I've heard about your legendary workouts, and I really appreciate you letting me be a counselor here this week. He said, do you think I could ever watch you work out? And Kobe's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure we could arrange that. And he said, well, like, are you working out, you know, anytime soon? Well, when I work out while I'm here, of course. You know, I work out wherever I go. Matter of fact, I'm working out tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And Alan's like, okay. And Alan's thinking, he's like, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Kobe's going to be addressing the whole camp, and there's under NBA players. And Kobe could see he was a little confused, and he said, no, 4 a.m. And he's like, oh, okay, I get it. So Alan says, I'm going to impress Kobe. I'm going to get there early. So Alan gets there, 3:30 in the morning, pulls up in front of the gym. Lights are already on. Kobe's pounding the basketball, full sweat in the gym. He had gotten there at 3:15, worked out for 45 minutes before his trainer got there so he could work out for 2 hours. So Alan watches it, and he's watching Kobe work out, and it's kind of some basic things. He's not really sure, but he watches the whole thing, and before it's over, he decides he just kind of slips out because they're talking. He doesn't want to bother him. So later he catches up with Kobe at the camp. He says, Kobe, hey, really appreciate you letting me come in and watch and everything. He said, but I got to ask you, you know, the stuff you were doing was like stuff I teach my middle schoolers. It was really basic stuff. And he said, absolutely. I never get tired of doing the fundamentals. That's why I have the best footwork in the NBA. I never get tired of doing the fundamentals. And that's what we have to be like. We have to be like that. So here's the thing. What are our fundamentals? Think about this. We pray. We read the Bible. We serve others. We fellowship with others. Practice gratitude and humility. Those are the fundamentals we need to practice every day. But here's what's interesting. It's cool being a superstar in the U.S., you know, and being a, you know, 15 years, you get to, you know, be the best in the NBA, blah, 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 all that stuff. That's great. But think about this. You practice your fundamentals now, you can be a superstar in heaven from now through eternity. everybody gets it. You got to go back to the fundamentals, because we talked about this at the beginning. You have your base. Jesus said, build your house upon the rock. You build it on the rock, then all these great things can come from that, but you got to keep your fundamentals in line. That's what you have to do. Now, put your hands down. Put your heads down again. And I'll ask you another question. So, the three things now that we're going to talk about, we've already talked about salvation. Now we're going to talk about identity. Who am I? Belonging. And my purpose. So of those three, you guys are going to have one that's maybe weaker than the others. So close your eyes, and I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand on your weaker one. So number one, if identity of the three is your weakest one, raise your hand. Like, who am I? Okay, great. Put your hands down. If belonging, where do I fit, is one, raise your hand. Nice and high. Okay, thank you. If purpose, like how do I make a difference, is your weakest one, raise your hand. Okay, good. Thank you. Excellent. All right, so this is pretty typical. You put your heads up. No, it's fine. This is pretty typical. When I talk to adults about this, when I talk to kids about this, it's amazing. It's fairly evenly distributed across the board that somebody's going to struggle more with one or the other. So let's talk about identity first. Who am I? Ephesians 2:10. Says, we are God's masterpiece. You are, some say craftsmanship, some say handiwork. You are a work of art. It's like a poem. You're very intricate, very detailed work of art that God has. And only God can give you your true identity. When you accepted Jesus, here's the thing. You know you are loved, you are valued, you're adopted, you're wanted, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, and you're empowered. Your identity in Jesus is certain. It's secure, and it's unchanging. That's what's so important, right? But here's the problem. If your identity is in your talent or your looks or your grades or anything else, that's sinking sand, because that's all going to change, or that could all go away. Why do you guys think, when you see, you know, all these musicians and social media influencers and athletes, once they're done, you see them have big-time depression issues or doing crazy stuff, or they actually do drugs, or or suicide, we even see. Because once their identity is gone, they're lost. They don't know what to do, and that identity is going to change at any time. Their identity was temporary. But once you have the proper perspective, you will have more confidence, and you can accept the roles that you have. Now, look, I totally understand. Here's what it comes down to. You guys right now, you know, I understand that things are kind of, as a teenager, it's really hard to do this. But here's the thing. Many times it comes down to enoughness. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't speak well enough. All these on and on and on about enoughness. That's what you guys are all the time. So how do we view, we should have a different perspective on this. So think about just some of these. So I did not make the team, but I'm still wanted. I didn't win any awards, but I'm still valued. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm rich with Jesus. I may not have the healthiest body or be able to speak that well or anything, but guess what? Jesus empowers me. Nothing seems to be going right at all, but I always have hope in Jesus. We are enough because of Jesus, and God, it's God who makes us enough. The theme on all four of these today, it's God first. If you put yourself first, it's sinking sand. Always God first, no matter what. So Claire, back to you again. Romans 8:1, right? So we know that. We know that we are redeemed. Okay, so let's say that together. We are redeemed. 1, 2, 3.
We are redeemed.
Even louder.
We are redeemed.
Thank you. Matthew, next one. Thank you. We are the image of God. Let's say it together.
We are the image of God.
Louder.
We are the image of God.
Thank you. Whitney. Excellent. We are wanted and valued. Let's say it together.
We are wanted and valued.
Excellent. Sawyer, you're up. Excellent. Listen to Sawyer stepping up loud and proud. Give him a hand, will you? Absolutely. All of my readers are, and Whitney's usually so quiet. Whitney was like, on point, I love it. So the last one, we are empowered. Let's say it together.
We are empowered.
Excellent. I love it. So now to your worksheet. Let's look at this. And again, for those of you who are, I like that you are at least pretending that I'm saying something of value. So thank you for doing that. So number one, when I accepted Jesus, I know I am loved, valued, adopted, wanted, redeemed, forgiven, and empowered. Next, identity is received from Jesus, not achieved by our accomplishments or given by others or even myself. You cannot give yourself your identity as much as you want to do it. Only Jesus can give you your identity. This is a very big one, this number three. My identity does not change based on my feelings or my circumstances. Feelings change all the time. Circumstances change all the time. But Jesus doesn't change. Next, this is very important for you guys, and this goes back to our fundamentals. I need to ask God every day to remind me that I am enough because Jesus is enough. I am enough because Jesus is enough. You can never do it on your own. You can't save yourself for sure. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what we have to think. And then finally, this is also extremely important because there are a lot of talented kids in this room, a lot of smart kids in this room, a lot of good-looking kids in this room. But here's the thing. God gives me different roles and different gifts, but those are not my identity. Everybody have that? Okay. Now, we're going to do this again at your tables. Every single person has to give an answer on this one. You got to go around the table. I know those of you who don't like to talk sometimes. You can make it up as it goes around. It's not a hard question. So here's a question. What is something that threatens to become my identity other than Jesus? So once your table is done, once every person has answered that question, raise your hand, okay? So ready, go. Let me help you guys out a little bit. Something that's more important than Jesus. So my looks, my sport, something else would threaten to become your identity other than Jesus. So we've gotten through the first two. Now we're going to go to number three. Belonging. So you're created in Christ Jesus. Now Brené Brown, she is a Christian writer and philosopher, I guess we'll call her. But basically here's what she said. Stop walking through the world looking for confirmation that you don't belong. You will always find it because you have made it your mission. Stop scouring people's faces for evidence that you are not enough. You will always find it because that is your goal. No one belongs here more than you. So I understand that there are many times you guys can walk into situations you just don't feel like you're one or that you belong there. And as teenagers, you guys got a lot going on, I get it. And you got your hormones going on, you're just not sure, you don't have the proper perspective on life because you're young. You also you feel just jacked up, and guess what? I get it because you think nobody understands me. You're probably right. Because guess what? Everybody's normal till you get to know them, right? We know that. Once you get to know them, we know we're all weird on some level. But here's the thing, that once you, if you can understand that, it's totally normal that you don't feel, there's a reason for it. There's so much sin in the world. There's so much bad stuff going on. And you guys are citizens of a place you've never been. So of course you're going to feel jacked up. Of course you're going to feel weird on these things. That's just how the world is. But please, 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 I'm asking you guys this. Do not be one of those people who is constantly making excuses or looking to be a victim and just always, or isolating yourself because nobody likes me, nobody understands me, all that. I get it. People are mean. 15% of people getting cyberbullied, that's jacked up. Think about that. And that's probably just the ones who reported it. So for you guys, we have to change this around. So Matthew 1:23 says this. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus has street cred. Jesus walked with you guys. He's experienced what you guys did. Think about what Jesus had to go through. He was born into a very, very poor family. They thought his parents were crazy because he was born of a virgin. So you know they thought his parents were all whacked out. He really kind of lived. He grew up just like you guys. He was living in obscurity pretty much till he was 30. But then when he was, some people would stay with him for a while. Some people would leave him. Some people didn't like what he had to say. Some people were so mad at him, they wanted to kill him. And of course, ultimately, they did kill him. And then finally, when he was at his worst point, his friends were out of the picture. So he gets it. He understands what you guys are going through. And we're all going through it. You have to understand that we all have that. Everyone feels lonely at times. No doubt about it. Everybody feels lonely, and a lot of times we don't feel like we fit. But remember this, God is always with you. You are never truly alone. You're never truly alone because God is always with you. And rather than, let's go back to our original theme. Rather than thinking about yourself all the time first, look for ways to make others feel included. Now, I already said there's a lot of talented kids in this room, and there's also a lot of people who are truly trying to follow Christ. So Landon, let's go to the next one. Liam, let's go to Romans 12:3. Landon, you got it. Thank you. That was a long one. Give Landon a hand for that. That was a long one. So the point is this. Every single one of you has gifts. And the question is, are you going to use them for the benefit of others or not, whether in the world or with us as other believers? And you belong to the body of Christ. Once you accept Christ, remember, you belong to the body of Christ. And sometimes it can be really simple. And this, people get kind of, they think that you have to do something so grand to be of service or to, you know, but no, to make somebody feel they belong is pretty simple. You could just listen to somebody. You could pray for somebody. You can just send them an encouraging text. That's just a way to make people feel included. And do you guys know that the first thing people look for to see if they're going to be greeted or not, you would think it's a smile or whatever? It's actually your hands. That they look for your hands first to see if you're going to be welcoming. Because if you smile and go like that, that's not that welcoming. But if you put your hands out, your fist pump or whatever, that's what people look for to see if they're included or not. So just think about that because that's what we need to start thinking about. Find your spot to be useful. Stop looking for others to include you. And we all belong to the body of believers. I know we have Galatians next. I'm going to skip over that one. You guys can read it on your own when we do that. But let's go to the worksheet because I want you guys to, I want to work through this. Number one, you belong here on earth as much as anyone else because God put you here. So remember, created in Christ Jesus, there's two ways. Number one, he created you in the womb, so he put you here on earth, so you absolutely belong here. He created you to be here, right? But secondly, when you're recreated in Christ, when you're a new creation in Christ, guess what? He's creating you to be in heaven forever. So you're a new creation and you're a new person. Does that make sense? So twice you're created and you belong. So you belong to the body of believers, you belong here on earth. There's no doubt about it. You guys belong here. Next, you belong to Jesus, and he bought you with the ultimate sacrifice. And you guys understand, you got to really think about that. He bought you with the ultimate sacrifice. You belong to Jesus. Number three, you belong with the body of believers now and for eternity. You belong with the body of believers now and for eternity. And this one, okay, I don't have a lot of gifts. But I do have this. I know, I can see, God has given me the ability to see people's potential and to see the gifts they have that they don't even know sometimes. And I try to help them bring it out. I can't tell you specifically what you're going to do for a living, but I can certainly tell you, hey, you know, I know you're good at this. I see what you can do here. That's just something that I'm able to do. So this is something that's very, very important in this last part of the worksheet. If I am striving to simply fit in, I am limiting my potential and setting myself up for disappointment. Please don't just strive to fit in. You guys, there's so many talented kids in this room and that God wants to use. Don't just try to fit in. You guys understand the old adage, be a thermostat, not a thermometer, right? A thermometer simply measures the room temperature and just that's all it does. A thermostat sets the temperature. Exactly. I wish I could say that was my original, but that's not my original. So I wish I could say it. So Sterling, we could do a double if it was my original, but it's not. It's only a single. So now, This is my favorite part here, because now we're going to talk about purpose. How can I make a difference? So go ahead to the next photo, Liam. So there was an experiment that was done years ago in the Everglades. And it was with a group of NFL players. Now imagine Niles players like Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, name your player, right? They line them all up and they say, okay, guys, we're going to have a race. Down this path, about a half a mile, is a pole. And it has ribbons on it. And all you got to do is run down there, grab the ribbon. First one back with a ribbon, back to here, wins. Now, we need to warn you, this is the Everglades, so there are snakes. But, you know, they're typically not doing it. You can kind of jump over them. They shouldn't be a big problem, no big deal. And it's the Everglades, so of course they're alligators. But alligators, they can only run in a straight line, so if they come after you, just zigzag. You should be okay. Oh, and there's wild boar. They are very territorial. They can grow up to 500 pounds, and they will kill you. Okay, you guys ready? So they're okay. On your mark, get set, go. Boom, they take off down the path. Well, a little ways down the path, they have a guy set up behind a bush. They have a camera so they can film the NFL player's reaction. As the NFL players approach, he starts shaking the bush violently and snorting like a boar. Every one of them stopped and ran straight back to where they started, scared to death, which I don't blame them. I would have done the same thing. A few days later, they bring in special forces guys, and they do the same thing. They say, they tell them about the race. They say, you got the snakes, you got the alligators, you got the wild boar, you ready? Go. Boom. They take off. Same bush, same guy, shaking the tree, snorting like a boar. Not one of them stops. Only two of them even looked at it. They all did it and came back. The big difference is that with these guys, with special forces guys, coming back alive is a bonus. That's how they look at the world. They don't care. These guys go into high-risk situations all the time. But think about this. Special forces guys are what all of you should be. Let's think about this. Number one, salvation. If anything happens to us, oh, we get made fun of, or we get out of a friend group because we expressed our faith, or some people, as we know, are killed for their faith. Guess what? We know we're in heaven forever once you have Christ. So you're not afraid to die, whether it's just die reputation-wise or die physically. Because guess what? Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. These guys don't care. Number two, their identity. They know what they've trained for. They know who they are. They know what they're capable of. Well, that's you guys. When you know you have Jesus in you, you know that he's backing you up. You know that God is the one who's working through you. That's your identity, that's who you are. Belonging. These guys are a team. They know they got the other person's back, and I got their back. They belong. They belong together. They know they're going to work together. And finally, their purpose. Nothing is going to stop them from completing that mission. Nothing. They don't care. They are going to complete the mission no matter what. Special forces guys, this is what the definition is. They're deployed on rescue missions. Guess what? It's a rescue mission when you guys are out there, because the difference is heaven or hell. If you want to be with God forever, you guys know the answer and you can give it to other people. That's a rescue mission. And it says, particularly in circumstances of high risk. It's high risk to share your faith. No doubt about it. I get it. It's high risk. Time sensitive. As we know from this week, you don't know when your time is up. Can be any time. So it's always time sensitive no matter what. They require specialized skills beyond the capabilities of conventional forces. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit working through you, because sometimes we're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But God's the one who's going to work through it. So they also operate in any place, city, jungle, desert. They don't care. It's anywhere. And guess what? That can happen for us too. It's anywhere. There are so many opportunities for us to make a difference and to see God at work. And are you willing to stay close to God to see him work and take advantage of the times he allows you to work with him? Are you willing to do it? Ephesians 2:10 says this, the second part. It said, created in Christ Jesus, which we talked about. But our purpose is to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He prepares the opportunities for you. You guys see that. 1 Corinthians says this. This kind of goes off of what Landon was reading. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God is going to empower each of you. He will give you opportunities. The question is, are you going to recognize them or not? And are you going to have the courage to actually step up and take advantage of those opportunities when he gives them to you? So once you understand your salvation and your identity and where you belong, guess what? Then after that, you're going to understand. And some of you don't, because some of you guys are young and you don't, you know, you won't listen to your parents, won't listen to me, won't listen to God, whatever it is. But I hope that God will get a hold of you and show you your potential and show you what you can do. Because once you know all these things, you understand it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege that the creator of the universe is going to allow you to work with him. It's crazy to think about it. All you guys have that opportunity. Here's a question you have to ask yourself. Is your mentality your life from mine? In other words, you do my homework for me. You drive me places. You buy me food. You do this. It's all about what they're going to do for you. Or is it my life for yours? Oh, I'll gladly help you with your homework. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely drive you somewhere. Oh, yeah, you can come with me over here. That's the difference. Because Jesus, remember, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give himself as a ransom for many. So his mentality was my life for yours. Big difference. Teenagers are always about, mostly, I'm not trying to crush all you guys, but adults are the same way. It's your life for mine. That's how we look at things a lot. Hear me. If you don't hear anything else, just hear this. God is allowing you to make decisions to be part of his story, which becomes your testimony. Right? He's preparing these things in advance for you to do. All you got to do is walk into them and decide to do it. That's all you got to do. We have to, and the question is, do you want that? It can be a big thing or a small thing. So we'll talk about a story. Some of you guys may have heard this before about the starfish. Some of you guys have heard this before. But I think, Liam, do we have another photo up here? There we go. So little boy wakes up in the morning. Thousands of starfish have washed up because of a storm the night before. Sun's coming up and starting to kill the starfish. So he gets out there and he's taking the starfish and throwing them back in the water trying to save them. As he's doing it, a guy comes along and says, hey, little boy, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to save these starfish. And the guy looks around and says, well, there's so many out here. How are you ever going to make a difference? And the little boy picked up the starfish and said, it made a difference to this one. Phew, threw it in the water. Exactly. Again, remember, it can be small things. Don't look at all these crazy things that happen on. You guys are so much in the social media, see all these great, fantastic things these people are doing. The smallest thing that you do is a great thing in the kingdom. I promise you that, and you will make a difference. The thing I led off with, my coach just simply saying, do the Lord's Prayer, and the guy ends up being a youth leader. He didn't know anything, and all he did was just did the Lord's Prayer. My coach would have never known that unless later Jeff called me, and then I told my coach. He would have never known that he started that. And sometimes you guys aren't going to know. Sometimes you aren't going to know when you do things. It may not come back. You may not know it. But that's okay, because if you know, all you got to know is that you did it for God. That's all you got to know. So let's bring it home here with the worksheet questions. So remember, Jesus came to serve others. I need to follow his example. Going back to our theme of all of these, you put God first. When you go through all of these things, you always put God first. And this is it. It's not my purpose. It's God's purpose for my life. We get caught up with it's my purpose. It's me. It's me. I, me, my. No, it's God's purpose for my life. Now, my main purpose in life is to know Jesus and to make him known. Pretty simple. But you got to know, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal He is. And the more that you are obedient to Him, and the more you do things for Him, and the more you walk into the opportunities He gives you, the more He's going to trust you, the more He's going to reveal to you, the more you're going to understand Him. Next, God is preparing opportunities for me to fulfill His purpose for my life. Do I have the discernment to recognize these opportunities and the courage to take advantage of these opportunities? Some of you are getting scared just by me talking right now. That you're scared to think about, well, what would He do? What kind of things would He might do? Some of you are getting scared right now. Most repeated command in the Bible is what? Do not fear, right? It's okay, but there is no courage without fear. It's okay to be afraid, but there is no courage without fear. Next is this. Success in fulfilling God's purpose for my life is simply knowing and doing the will of God. It's pretty simple. If you can know what God wants you to do, and then you do it, guess what? That's success. And then finally, whenever God gives me the opportunity to serve others, He receives the glory, not me. Yes, very important to end with that, because just like it begins with God, it ends with God, right? It's beginning and the end. So thank you all. Band, come on up here. I'm going to pray for you guys as you guys come on up. Can we give a hand to my readers real quick, who did a good job there? They stepped up. They stepped up extremely well. Okay. Let's pray real quick. Everybody bow your heads. And Lord, thank You for this opportunity that we all have to learn more about You. And I just pray that everybody in this room, number one, would understand that they're a 10 out of 10 and to be in heaven forever. And if they're not sure, that they please, Lord, just ask somebody, because they can have that assuredness of salvation. They really can. It can be 100%, a 10 out of 10. And Lord, I also pray that everybody here in this room will look at rethink their identity, rethink that they belong, rethink their purpose. Put You first and make sure that they are always ready to hear what you're saying. And Lord, I thank You for this time together. Thank You for the band. Thank You for Todd and Corinne and Sterling for everything they do for us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys